Good morning. It is so good to gather with you. It's so good to hear you gather. It's so good knowing that you are on the live stream. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Welcome to our time of worship this morning. As we step into our worship here in Lent, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor, and she has several announcements for us this morning. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have a few announcements for us this morning. The first announcement that I have is regarding scholarships. We have scholarship applications available, and those will be available on our website or in the office, and those will be available until April 13th. If you have any questions, please feel free to call the office or send me an email. And then I want to let us know that we have new member classes beginning today, and we will meet at 11:30 in the conference room. So if you are interested in joining the church, please meet us in the conference room that's right outside the office area. And I will be there at 11:30. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Next, I'm going to draw our attention to the back of the bulletin, and we're going to do a little bit of a participatory announcement this morning. I know some of you are just feeling really comfy in your pew or perhaps your favorite chair at home, but I'm going to ask you to participate by standing up. Oh, my, yes. Now remember when your teacher in elementary school would, not all at once, sorry, I appreciate the enthusiasm. But you might remember in elementary school when our teacher gave us a chance to stand, right? And that was kind of exciting in class. So I'm going to invite us to embrace our childlike faith and show our response by standing, if this applies to you, okay? So don't just stand because I said stand, but if this applies to you, I invite you to stand. If you have someone in your life that needs to know that God loves them, who has somebody in their life who, friend, a family member for whom, you know, it would really help for them to know that God loves them. Who has a friend, family member, co-worker, neighbor who needs to know that good wins out at the end of the day? I invite you to remain standing, okay? Who knows somebody who needs the hope of knowing that life conquers everything, even death itself? Who needs to know that message? You have somebody in your life who needs to know that. If you're standing, perhaps even if you're seated, you have somebody in your life who needs to hear the good news of Holy Week and Easter. Those are the messages that we carry in our worship. That is the hope that we share in our worship on Monday, Thursday through a day of prayer, on Good Friday as we reflect on Jesus' death on the cross, and even take a look at how he may conquer death, and certainly on Easter morning with the resurrection. Perhaps God has put somebody in your mind, if you respond to this announcement, of who you can invite. I just want you to take a moment to think, what if for everyone who is standing here, or who was standing in their heart and spirit, what if there was somebody else in this congregation to hear that news? And then what might God do in their life if you invite them to worship during Holy Week or Easter to encounter the good news of Jesus Christ? What might God do? This week, I invite you to pray about who you might invite. Did God put somebody in your mind that they might hear this good news? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, please. I do have one more announcement for you, and I promise no standing up for this one. But if you want to shout an amen, I'll take that too. So back in December, the Strategic Leadership Council stepped out in faith and decided to employ the services of ministry architects to aid us in our search for the church's next full-time director of children's and youth ministries. Ministry Architects is a staff recruiting service for churches and nonprofits. They have conducted over 350 searches. They have a resume bank of over 3,800 individuals, and a large bulk of their clients are United Methodist churches with consultants and clients who live here in Michigan. And so we're really excited to take this step in faith in our search to fill the position of Director of Children's and Youth Ministries. We have been underway doing this effort for, is it a year, 2 years? And we're taking this bold step of faith, believing that God is looking to do a good thing with our children and our youth who are here and those who are to come. Today, Ministry Architects is conducting an on-site visit with us. I'm going to invite you to greet and welcome Elaine Pendergrass, who is serving as our consultant on-site. I invite you to give her a warm Midland First welcome. Elaine is scheduled to have several listening sessions with us and be present here on Sunday morning to get a sense of who we are. Elaine has a background in education, child development, and children's discipleship. Along with being an elementary school teacher, Elaine has served as the children's minister at two large churches in Houston, Texas. I understand there are big things in Texas. And also has built sustainable ministries at smaller churches in the Midwest. And so we're excited to have Elaine with us today and tomorrow, again, to learn about our church, to learn about our community, to learn about our story, and bring back those learnings to her team as we partner with Ministry Architects to find the church's next director of children's and youth ministries. I invite us to pray for her, her time with us. And I invite you to also pray for another staff member of Ministry Architects, as she was scheduled to be with us. Her name is Sarah, and she had had some needs that come up in her family. And I invite us as a faith community to be praying for Sarah as well. And so let us pray this morning. God, we trust that you have woven together all that is taking place, that you have walked alongside us as we have grown and celebrated with the ministry of Hillary Ferguson as our children's and youth director and her ministry among us, and this time in between where we have been in search for that next person to fill this role in a full-time capacity. And Lord, I pray that you would just plant in our hearts as a church all that you're doing. Yes, in the life of the church, but then in the life of children and youth who are here and children and youth who are to come. We thank you for bringing Elaine to be with us this morning, and we trust, oh Lord, that she has been appointed and anointed for this time. We pray that you would give her a very spirit and keen mind and heart to hear our story, to know how you are working here, and to be able to translate that to her team that will aiding us in the church. And Lord, we certainly pray for Sarah. We celebrate with you, Lord, all that she has done for your kingdom and for your church. And just pray that you would come alongside her at this very time and attend to her, attend to her family, attend to her friends. And Lord, we just pray for your outpouring upon her, just as she has been a part of you pouring your Holy Spirit upon many churches along the way. So Lord, we trust you, we have faith in you, and we know that you are good. And so we lift this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. So a lot in life to be excited, life in the church to be excited about, and to know that God is moving. I invite you to turn to your e-blast to see all the different ways, additional ways that we are moving as a church, and invite you to engage with the life of the church as you see those opportunities.
Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear
my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should harden your enemies, Lord, who stand. But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning.
To join us in our opening hymn, Deep in the Shadows of the Past. You'll find this on page 2246 of the Faith We Sing songbook or on the screen in front of you.
Today we are in what week of Lent? Do you guys know?
The fifth.
The fifth, good job. All right, and next week is Holy Week. We are going to start off by meeting in the back for Palm Sunday. So all you guys are invited, about 10 minutes to service, 9:50. Oh, okay. Well, you guys have fun. We will miss you, but we will hopefully see you for Easter. Okay, so everybody, we're gonna meet in the back about 10 of, and then we're gonna march up here with our palms and do our little tradition. How does that sound?
Okay.
Uh-huh, you agree? Okay, all right.
I'm tired.
Oh, I think we all are, right? We're ready for spring break. I know I was. Hey, what do you think we're going to talk about today?
Soil.
We got, these are spices. I know, what does spices have to do? Actually, I didn't bring the ointment, the oil. And what would we wrap about, we wrap something in this? Kind of like when Jesus, in the tomb? Did you guys know that Jesus had a really good friend named Lazarus?
Yes.
You did? Oh, you've heard that story?
Yeah.
Oh, he had three friends, actually. Yeah, and unfortunately, he was with his disciples, and he found out his friend was not feeling well. So we're going to talk about what happens to his friend Lazarus this morning. Oh, were you reading that last night ahead of time? That's good. Do you guys know? Okay, so we are going to be into the book of John today. John the 11. And our remember verse for today is Jesus said to her, his Lazarus' sister, Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." I wonder what that means. Okay, so let us pray. This will be a hint of what we're doing today. This comes from a funeral service. Merciful God, you heal the broken in heart and bind up the wounds of the afflicted. Strengthen us in our weakness, calm our troubled spirits, and dispel our doubts and fear. In Christ's rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to everlasting life. Renew our trust in you, and by the power of your love, we shall one day be brought together again by all your loved ones who have died. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
I come to the garden.
Yeah.
cuando el pobre nadie tiene entre parte, cuando el hombre pasa sed, Dios será, cuando el bien hace mano fortalece, y a Dios mismo nuestro mismo camino. Cuando sufre hombre logra su consuelo, cuando el verano se cansa de esperar, cuando el mamá sangre el lío no se debe, a Dios mismo.
God, we do give you thanks and praise for all that you are, all who you are, and all that you have given to us. Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts to further your kingdom. We thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 17, verses 20 through 24, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a question often asked or often used during an icebreaker, and it goes something along the lines of, if you could have dinner with three famous people, past or present, who would they be? Who would you invite? Had a chance to think about it, so I put down Tom Brady, Steve Hartman, the reporter on CBS who does the human interest stories on the road, and any one of our living U.S. presidents. I think that would add for an interesting conversation. Along these lines, if I were asked, if you could share a walk in the woods with three people, past or present, who would they be? I know that on this short list would be John Eldridge, the author of the Lenten study that we're doing this year at the church. Listen to how John describes a walk in the woods. Walking through a forest is about my most favorite thing to do when the day is hot but it's cool under the canopy. When the light is filtering down through the leaves in broken patterns, changing colors like the light in a cathedral coming through the stained glass high above. I love walking along slowly and silently when the mossy soil is moist and you tread without a whisper. The wildlife doesn't seem to mind your presence. You might see a fox or a pine marten, the flank of a deer slipping into the high ferns. It feels like the entire forest is one living, breathing entity. End quote. In his book, Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad, Eldridge dives deeper into what makes a walk in the woods so magical. Why might it speak to our soul? And he does so by citing the groundbreaking work of Peter Wohlleben, a forester and author of the book, The Hidden Life of Trees. And rather than just a collection of individual trees, Wohlleben discovered and paints the picture in his book of how a forest is more so an interconnected network of trees. An organism of the whole much greater than just the individual parts. So, for example, Wohlleben discovered that if a singular tree is diseased, the surrounding ones in the forest send a critical nutrition to the struggling tree to combat this disease. This takes place through the interconnected root system and the network of fungi embedded in the forest floor. This continues until the diseased tree is well again. Similarly, if an invading beetle attacks a single tree, a warning salvo is sent through the soil of the forest to the other trees. And as a result, Wohlleben writes, quote, the forest responds by producing immune defenses, which they send up through their trunks and into their leaves. And so unless you're a forester or might know this already, it's a different picture, yes, of what's happening in the life of the woods or the forest, of how these seemingly independent trees are actually woven together and interconnected and caring for one another's well-being. So between Eldridge and Wohlleben, perhaps it's easy for us to appreciate how a forest can be such a magical place to be. Eldridge mentions all this because he views the interconnected life of a forest to being very much like the interconnected life that God desires to share with each one of us. More so than anything else, this is the very heart of God's creation, to be, as Eldridge puts it, often in union with us. This is the heartbeat of God's creation, to be interconnected with us. For this reason, as Jesus spoke of and was recorded in John chapter 3, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God sent Jesus to be in relationship with us, to live in union with us, to share an intimate and connected relationship with you, wherein your being is filled with God's. Imagine this. Jesus not only talked about this or taught about this, Jesus actually prayed this prayer for you and for me. Listen once again to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. I am praying not only for these disciples, so these disciples that are around me right now, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So not just the disciples who were at his feet or with him at the time with this prayer. Jesus is praying this prayer for you and for me and for all who would come to believe through them. Jesus goes on to pray, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. I have given them the glory you gave me so that we may be one as we, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. And so Jesus' very prayer and hope for us that we would be one and the same just as Jesus shares with his Heavenly Father, that just as he and God are one, we too will be one with Jesus. That's his prayer for us, that he would abide in us and we would abide in him. So this morning, I invite you to consider for a moment, how would you describe your relationship with God? How would you describe that connection this morning? Is your being, is your day, is it saturated with God's presence? Can you see how God is present in your life, present in your day? Is God's presence that palpable in your life and in you? And if this is not so, are you aware of why it isn't? Eldridge gently reminds us of the real-world barriers to this sort of interconnected life with God. Remember the forest, how it is an interconnected life? Eldridge has us imagine that our life can be like that with God. And he gently reminds us why this might not be so. Eldridge first does so by naming our losses and our disappointments and grief, along with life's damaging traumas. You might recall that we talked about these last week, and we referred to them as the neglected places in our souls. And Eldridge suggests that the first has a way of eroding away at our soul, that interconnected life with God. Those losses, those disappointments that we experience in life, indeed those griefs that we encounter. And secondly, Eldridge points to life's damaging traumas, that they have a way of causing an all-out breach of our soul. That sometimes life's events, that sometimes life's traumas lead to an all-out breach of that interconnected life. The point in mentioning so is not to assign blame or to cast a shame upon any of us, but more so, Eldridge points to this as providing a path home. A path on which we're open to letting God back in. And so this morning, whether you're worshiping with us at home or whether you're worshiping with us in our sanctuary, if you find yourself in such a place where your union with God or your connection with God and your soul needs healing, perhaps try the following practices that Eldridge offers us in his study. You might remember again from last week, we start off by identifying what's standing in the way, right? What are those losses? What are those disappointments? What are those griefs? Or even trauma that is standing in between us and that close relationship with God. Keep in mind that Eldridge rightfully shares that sometimes such work requires the help of others, a counselor, a pastor, a spiritual director. And if you find yourself in that place, again, I encourage you, invite you to reach out to Pastor Bethany or to reach out to myself. Be happy to walk alongside you. And then, if you find that this hurt or disappointment has closed you off in your connection with God, the next step might be these two practices that Eldridge offers in chapter 8 of his study. And again, as we've done through Lent, I'm going to invite you to write them down. Sometimes something sounds good in worship, and then we get to Sunday brunch, and we forget what point two was. So I invite you to take your bulletin, invite you to take a pew offering envelope, invite you. Yes, if you're that fortunate person sitting next to the registration pad, rip out an extra page and write yourself a note. But I invite all of us to write them down so we give each other permission, right? You might not need these, but perhaps your neighbor does. And by all of us writing them down, we invite us all to capture these. So there's just two simple ones today. So if we find ourselves recognizing that there is a hurt, there is a disappointment, there's a loss or grief that's standing in the way, the first thing to do is to start with something you love. Okay, so step number one, name something in your life today that you already love or that you know is already good. Start with something you love and recognize that this is God's gift to you. And so with that thing, with that person, with that season, with it, that aspect of your life that is good, name it. And recognize that this is God's gift to you. And the second step is simply to choose to love God in your suffering. Choose to love God in your suffering. Of course, this is not easy. At the same time, with God's help, it is a choice that we can make. That even if we are going through a difficult season in life, if even God's presence is not as saturated as we might envision the floor of a healthy forest, we can still choose to be grateful, to choose to love God in the midst of that season. And so what does this look like? Eldridge suggests naming our hurts and even writing them down and saying to Jesus, I feel hurt about this or I feel hurt about that. And then pray, come into this hurt. Come into this feeling of abandonment, this numbness that I feel. But to also pray, I love you here, God. I choose right here in this to love you, God. Rightfully so, Eldridge suggests that the healing of our soul, that the healing of our union is a gradual work. He writes, remember, God works gently. He doesn't answer trauma with a forceful response. He heals through gentleness. Sometimes it can feel dramatic, but maybe only 5% of the time. Most of the time, the union of our soul with God is something that is very gentle and life-giving. Therefore, you have to be gentle and tuned in to be aware of it. End quote. I remember a season of my life that it didn't feel like that saturated, life-giving soil of a forest. But it felt more like a drought, more like a parched land. And I remember it came through a disappointed friendship in my life and how that friendship was broken and how that brokenness in that friendship was a result of brokenness that had seeped into my family's life through that friend. In fact, I was processing through this friendship as my time was ending here and I was stepping into my next appointment. And I remember the hurt that I felt in that friendship, and I remember the hurt that was introduced into my family. And I remember being upset with God, and I remember being upset with my friend. And perhaps a blessing that I had in the next church that I served after here was the parsonage sat on a 3/4 acre lot, and I was responsible for mowing the grass. Yeah. And the lawn tractor that we had at first was this John Deere lawn tractor from the 1970s. It wasn't zero turn. It was like 45 degree turn. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but it wasn't zero turn. And there were a lot of moles on this property. And so it was hardly smooth. It was not a golf course, Jerome. And so it took a lot of time. And I got time over the next 5 years to talk to God about that friend and about that brokenness and about the brokenness in my family. And I'd love to say that after 2 months of being in that appointment and cutting the grass and catching poison ivy because I cut the weeds in the ditch, that everything in that friendship was healed. But that wasn't the case. What did happen 5 years later is through that time, God worked in my life and healed that hurt. And I wrote my friend a letter. Now, we're not the same friends we were before all this took place. But he's still part of my forest today. And I'd like to think that one of the reasons I share an interconnected life with God, an interconnected life with family, an interconnected life with friends is because God brought healing into that space. So be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. Perhaps this Lenten season is simply the beginning of something new in your life. Whatever it may be, know that Jesus has already prayed for you, that he might be one with you, as he is one with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Friends, as we gather to pray this morning, I invite us to extend our sympathies and prayers to the family of Mary Choate. Mary passed away yesterday afternoon on March 21st. And so as we gather in our prayers, let us be that interconnected network of trees, that forest for Stu Choate, for their children, and for their families this day and in the season to come. And again, I invite us to be in prayer for our work with Ministry Architects. I can imagine the exciting things ahead for our children and youth as God brings to fruition the seeds that God has planted already. And so I encourage us to pray for Elaine today, to pray for our ministry team members and our ministry leaders as we share our story and she begins that work of discerning who to bring among us. And so invite us to enter a time in spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, this time of worship, this time of sharing praise, and spending time in your word has us imagining what it is like to have you abide in us, to be present in a powerful and in a life-giving way. Indeed, as Zoe and Carla and Gabrielle and Bruce led us in music, we were invited to imagine what it is like to tarry with you, to walk in the garden, and to not be rushed, and to know that you are with us. And Lord, Carla even invites us to consider how you are with the poor, and that how you are with those who suffered, and find their comfort in you. In that then we would know that God is still on that road with us. God, some of us this morning in our homes, in the sanctuary, are in those places where we need to be reminded that you are good, that there is comfort, that there is hope, that there is new life, to know that we are not alone, but we are part of something bigger than us. Open our hearts Open our mind, open our spirit to your abiding presence. God, we're mindful of how the family of Mary Choate, both know the richness of your presence and need to be reminded of your abiding grace. And so we lift Stu up in our prayers this morning. We lift up their children and their families. We thank you for how Mary has spoken into our life as a congregation. We also pray for Elaine, our consultant, in her time with our parents, our children, our youth, our ministry team members. And just ask that through our interconnected story, you would communicate to her our needs, and that you would be doing a God-sized work, a God-sized miracle, to bring about an even more fruitful children's and youth ministries in our midst. And Lord, as we think about our interconnected life, your Holy Spirit works in a way that awakens us to all others who need this life. Family members and friends and neighbors, people in our community, in our nation, and around the world. We're mindful of those who live in areas of conflict. We're mindful of our service members and their families who are miles apart. Through your grace, bring the waters of your Holy Spirit and connect us all today. Heavenly Father, all this we pray in the very name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing hymn, For the Healing of the Nations. You'll find this on page 428 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. Thank you. mindful that I have a responsibility to lead by example. And so I'm going to name for you one aspect of my life that I'm very grateful for today. I am grateful for you. I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to be the lead pastor of Midland First at this time and with you. I know we still are working together. I know we're not on cruise control, but I am so grateful to be here today and to be with you and to see what God is doing in our midst. And so I invite you this week to be mindful. No matter what season of life you're in today, what is one thing you are grateful for? And to remember that it is God who has given that to you. I have a mentor in my life right now who has spoken into my life that thoughts matter. Here's why thoughts matter, okay? Because beliefs form our thoughts, okay? Our thoughts lead to our actions. Our actions at times lead us to take a step in faith. Our step in faith reinforces our beliefs. Did you hear that one piece right there? That's a part of that critical chain? What's this? Our thoughts, they matter. Let us be grateful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.